The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Thank you for joining me today on the program. I have on the line Roberto Bruno. Welcome to my program.
Hey, thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for having me, brother.
Well, this Roberto is the worship pastor at a very well-known church in Orlando. It's Orlando First Baptist down by 33rd Street, right on I-4. Anybody that's ever lived in the Orange County area has passed by this church and noticed it because, number one, it is right by I-4. Number two, the place is humongous. It's big. What a wonderful work that church has been for many, many years. And Roberto, I can't tell you how excited I am to have you on. First of all, tell us how you came to know the Lord.
Yes. Well, thank you again, Mike, for having me. And it is a huge blessing to serve at First Baptist Orlando. It's a pillar for the community of faith here in Orlando. And so I became a believer in kind of a interesting way, just by the grace of God. So I grew up in a minister's home. My dad actually is the first ever Spanish Christian rapper, and I know it's kind of a left turn there, but my dad's stage name was BK Rap, and I think some of your listeners might know who that is. So I grew up in the studio with my dad.
What part of the country was this, Roberto?
This was in Orlando. Yep, I grew up in Orlando.
Oh my goodness.
And both my parents are from Puerto Rico, and so all my blood is Puerto Rican. And you know, grew up in the studio with him, making beats and preparing to minister in different churches. Traveled the world with my dad. And Mike, when I tell you, everything kind of came to a halt out of nowhere when I was 9 years old. That's an understatement. So we went to a movie, and after the movie, we got back in the car, just me and my dad. And my dad looked at me and he said, "Son, what's the worst thing I could do to your mother?" And I said, as a 9 year old, I said, "Did you cheat on her, Dad?" And he said, "Yes, I did." And from there, everything just kind of came plummeting down, and his ministry at that point kind of went into shambles, and I saw kind of him at his worst. He was my hero, but praise God for redemption and reconciliation. Everything's great now. You know, we our great relationship is back, but I looked at what my dad did and I said, "If this is what a man of God is, I don't want to be a man of God." Mm-hmm. And so at 12 years old, my parents finally divorced, and after a terrible separation, and then I went to three different middle schools because I kept getting kicked out from each middle school I was in, my mom and I moved to Boca Raton just for a couple years, and then came back to Orlando. I lost my joy there, Mike, for music and certainly for the Lord. And it wasn't until one of my friends in junior year of high school said to me, I went to Dr. Phillips High School. One of my friends there said to me, "Hey, I'm a part of this thing called the Singing Christmas Trees at this church called First Baptist Orlando. And, you know, it would look really good to colleges if you had that under your application, that you were a part of the Singing Christmas Trees." And all I was wanting, Mike, was to do anything with music in mm-hmm. my life.
Yeah.
The Lord had restored in me the joy of music through some of high school. And so I said, "Sure, I'll join that." And then it wasn't until I started serving in the Singing Christmas Trees that the Lord started to restore to me the joy of my salvation. And it was then where, you know, I felt like oil running over my head. I felt the Lord, you know, solidifying the calling that I had in my life, through that season. And then, you know, through senior year, just started serving as a volunteer leading worship for the children's ministry at First Baptist. And it was just really, really special and really just loved, leading worship for kids. It's still one of my favorite things to do is leading worship for kids. I love it. I love the freedom in it. And then after that, I met my wife after senior year of high school, as we were both going to lead worship for a kids camp. And my wife's name is Christy. We've been married for almost 7 years, and we've got three kids and one on the way, Mike. We got one on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Our kids' names are Melody. She's our oldest. And then after her is Israel. After Israel is Selah. And then the one on the way is Moses. And so we met each other that summer and that's kind of everything that leads me up to the journey of you know, being in vocational ministry there.
That is a tremendous story, and one that is, I believe, identifiable to many in our audience who have gone through the equal type of scenario, the pain of divorce, especially as a 9-year-old, hearing that news from your dad. That is never easy. You know, I've heard people say, well, I don't want to stay together just for the kids. And yet, at the same time, while relationships, we all know that marriage is not an easy thing. It is something that has to be worked at, but it is something worth working at. And the just the untold damage that it can do. Now, I'm glad to hear that things have reconciled for you, but for many, it doesn't ever. And the problems that divorce causes, it's sometimes lifelong for the children impacted. So I'm grateful to God that His hand was upon you and that you handled it as well. That really does speak, doesn't it, to the sovereignty of God, that He just did not let you get out of His hand.
Oh, it certainly does. Certainly does, Mike. Thank you for those words. It was definitely one of the hardest seasons of my life, and just seeing my dad, I don't know if some of your listeners have parents in ministry, but seeing my dad in, you know, kind of the highest of highs going to the lowest of lows, really gave me a lesson in just remaining, in a state of humility, in ministry, remaining in a state of always having to look towards Jesus and never seeing yourself as at a different level. Just remembering who Jesus is in your life and that your eyes need to continuously be on Him. And so, yeah, Mike, you're absolutely right.
It is a sad but well-worn path that many have taken who were in ministry. And I think that your conversation with me today on this topic and people who are hearing this, who might be in some ways celebrated in the sense that they have a position that is both important and maybe loved, and a lot of attention goes to them because of it. I know for me, growing up in the period of time that I did, there were many on the road, full-time singers, and I used to be in a band that would play with a lot of nationally known artists. And I'd be backstage, Roberto, and I tell you what I saw backstage was what turned me off to the church in the beginning of my walk. And it's like the lack of accountability, you know, it does. It's so true that when people get to success, it's easy if they're not grounded, if they're not accountable. The stuff that comes their way, the acclamation, the adoration from fans, all that stuff goes, and we can lose sight of what really is important. And it's just a good warning to anyone who's in ministry to say, hey, I need accountability in my life or I could end up that way.
It's a good word. That's a good word, brother.
Well, I tell you, your story is so important for us to hear, and I'm grateful to God that your love and your joy for music came back around to you. Rap music is not as easy to kind of understand the instrumentation behind it, because I did hear you say that you made beats, and I get all that, and I love studio work and all. What instrument of choice did you end up landing on?
So that's a great question, Mike. So yeah, I would see my dad working with his little drum machines and stuff, and they weren't little, they were big drum machines.
Right.
And seeing him do all that and loop things together, and it was a lot of fun to see kind of the electronic music side of things. And so it wasn't until high school where I learned my first worship song on the piano. And it's an old Hillsong song called Still. I'm not sure if you remember that song, but it's got just a really beautiful melodic line. And my best friend, who's still my best friend, we were each other's best men in our weddings.
Oh, that's wonderful.
High school. He loves the Lord, and he knew that I was drawing near to God again. And so he said, hey, you're going to want to have some personal worship time. And so you got to learn an instrument here. And so what we did was we sat in the keyboard lab, and he taught me how to play Still by Hillsong. So that was kind of the first thing I did. Now, as I lead, I lead mostly from the acoustic guitar. And I've been playing that for about 9 years here, but I started with the keyboard, Mike, and it's kind of my first love there.
Oh, that's great. And so great to hear that you play guitar. We all of the guitar players have to stay together on that. So grateful for you on that. Talking to Roberto Bruno. He's with Orlando's First Baptist Church, and this is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. We're going to be back with Roberto in a moment. Back again with Roberto Bruno, and Roberto is the worship pastor at First Baptist. It's a large church. You mentioned that you were kind of growing up there doing worship for young people, for children, mm-hmm. and you met your wife there, and how exciting that is, man, to you kind of like grow up in a real sense and mature in the church that you're now serving in. And that reminds me of when I interviewed Danny DeArmas. His experience was he got to grow up there at First Baptist as well. That's something you guys have in common.
That's right. And Danny really grew up there.
He did. I grew up there yes.
From high school on. So he was involved in the children's ministry and everything, but I had a great time with the student ministry during my high school years, and so we were certainly blessed by the Lord to kind of grow up together, me and my wife, during that season of life.
So Roberto, when you're looking now, as you look back over your life and you think about the things that have happened, and we all have a story, and that's one thing that I love to do in these interviews, is to hear people's stories. Yours is so interesting, and I think so helpful to people. Because people who are doing a work for God today, it's not like they have a scar-free life. It's not like that everything in your life was so perfect and, hey, that's why I can serve God, because I've never done anything wrong. Hardly. We all have the pains. We all have the scars. And, you know, to see that God has redeemed your life, and even the resistance that you kind of were turned off toward the Lord during those times, God's love for you never stopped. And
Amen.
Do you remember back what would be the first thought that hit your brain? Hey, you know, I believe God's calling me into serving him. What was that?
Yeah. So again, when I was asked to by my friend to join him during the singing Christmas trees, I was just wanting to do anything that involved a music note.
Right.
That was what the Lord was magnetizing me to himself with. And when when the Singing Christmas Trees was auditioning for a student choir solo moment. I had auditioned for that, and by the grace of God, I got that solo. And I can remember the first time I stepped out on a church platform to lead in worship for the first time since I was 9 years old with my dad. I can remember, just like I said, just that oil running over my head. I felt peace for the first time in a long time, Mike. I felt like I had some direction to my life. And man, when I tell you it was peace like never before, that's a lie.
So you found what it was, and God was doing that, letting you know that this was your path, and you went on down that path. And that's tremendous to have experiences like that, where your calling is sure, you know exactly what it is that God's put in your heart to do. And was there a favorite scripture verse that would be associated with that time that you look back and was super special for you?
Yeah, I mean, in reality, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Psalms, and I love Psalm 28, verse 7. That just says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him." Mm. I love that the Lord is our strength and our shield, and that was I needed some strength. In my life, I needed someone to trust, and so that verse became my life verse. Psalm 28:7 did.
Oh, that's great! Thank God for the Word of God. It's alive and it helps us, and it gives us that anchor. And that's what a life verse does. It gives an anchor that you can always look back on, because even people who are called as you are and are serving in ministry, that doesn't mean that we don't ever have those dry times or we don't ever have those difficult times. And to have that anchor to look back on and remember, nope, God called me. This is what I'm supposed to do. He is faithful. Even when we're not, He is, and He's going to help me through. And what a great verse to have to look back on. So tell us a little bit about this path that you have taken on now with this worship ministry at First Baptist. What was that like in the early years for you?
Absolutely. So, man, when I tell you this, Mike, God doesn't call the qualified; He qualifies the called. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yes.
Man, that is my story. I will raise both of my hands if ever asked to testify to that. The reality is that I've done really nothing to warrant the platform that God has given me or my family, and His is the glory forever and ever. And you know, you talked about Danny DeArmas earlier. One of my favorite Danny-isms is touch not the glory. And so I am careful not to touch any of God's glory. In fact, the journey that I've taken kind of makes it impossible to touch the glory of Jesus with where I'm at, you know? So basically, how I ended up as one of the worship pastors there is, we started interning. I started interning with the worship ministry at First Orlando about 10 years ago, right at 2010. And so my main responsibility as an intern for the church in the worship ministry was to lead worship for the children. And so, I just dove right into that, man, and gave all that I had to it, explored all creative aspects to it. And really just enjoyed that. And even now, I love leading worship for, you know, VBSs and kids camps and stuff like that. And just because it's so much fun. And for 2 years, I was interning with that responsibility on me. In those 2 years, I asked my wife to marry me, and so. When that happened, I was still interning, and you know, when her dad asked me, "Hey, so what's your plan here?"
And dads always want to know that. That's an important thing. Being a father of three girls, I can tell you that that's on a dad's mind.
Exactly. And he said, "You know, you're interning. So what's the plan?" And what I said was, you're one of the most godly people I know, sir. And so I'm just going to tell you how I feel. I have faith that God will provide and your daughter won't go hungry. And he looked at me and he said, all right, you have my blessing. And so I didn't know exactly what God was going to do, but about 2 weeks before the wedding, I get a call from senior leadership to go up to their office, and I walked in and they just said, hey, we want you here. And so they made me a full-time worship leader at that point.
Wow.
And it was 2 weeks before the wedding. And so I did a big phew in that moment and said, thank you, Jesus. And so, that season of life as a full-time worship leader, my responsibility changed at the church. I was overseeing what was happening with the kids, but I was also leading worship for the young adult ministry at that point. And, I did that for 2 years as well. And then, after we were married for a couple of years, we got pregnant with our first child, Melody. And 2 weeks before she was born, I was ordained. And
2 weeks seems to be a very important number for you, my friend.
God likes to do it at the 11th hour. And so 2 weeks before she was born, I was ordained. And then the following year, made worship pastor at First Orlando, and the leadership dynamic at First Orlando. We have two worship pastors on staff. One of them is I'm not sure if you know him. His name is Robert Elkins.
I do not.
And the man is a genius. He's we call him the maestro. He handles all instrumentation, and so he handles the orchestra. He handles the band for the contemporary services. He's the MD for that, the music director for that, and he's just a musical savant there. And then I oversee as worship pastor. I oversee all the worship leaders of our staff in every campus, and I am the primary leader of worship for the contemporary service.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a creative arts director who oversees the worship for our traditional service. And so it's kind of the three amigos there.
So these traditional and contemporary services, are they both held in the big auditorium?
Yes, sir, they are.
At different times, obviously. This goes to show how big that place is. Because now, for people who don't know, our program is going up in Ocala and Gainesville as well. For people who are not familiar with the campus of First Baptist Orlando, this is considered to be one of Orlando's mega church auditoriums, very big. How many will that auditorium seat?
It seats 4,300.
4,300. And when you talk about these two services, what times are they? Would one be in the evening or morning, or are they like back to back in the morning or what?
Yeah. So obviously right now, because of the virus, everything's different right now. Obviously.
Oh, yes.
Right now we're just streaming, but when everything goes back to being live with people in the room, what it is an 8:30 service for a traditional. And then there's two other services at 10 and 11:30 that are contemporary.
That is a tremendous schedule, and one that it does take a bunch of people. And I tell you, every time I've gone onto that campus, that's what I see, a bunch of people serving with joy and smiles, and the staff that First Baptist Orlando has, it's a second to none. And I'm so grateful for all of you that are down there. And doesn't it seem, Roberto, like 2 years ago that all this began with the virus? I saw a meme the other day, somebody put a meme out. They said April was a long year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It certainly was. It does seem like it was a while back. spend it.
Oh my goodness. It's funny. I asked that question about your service schedule and you're qualifying it because of the virus. And I'm going, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, right now there's nothing happening out there contemporary or except for the fact that it's a stream. And oh my goodness, I am looking forward to getting back to whatever normal is going to look like. I'm wanting to get there as soon as possible. That's okay with me.
They said you're not alone there, brother.
No, I'm not. Hey, I'm talking to Roberto Bruno, and he is the worship pastor at First Baptist in Orlando. We'll be back with Roberto coming up in just a moment, and we're going to be talking about the big Orlando blessing video that was released last week. Don't go away. I'm on the phone today with Roberto Bruno from Orlando First Baptist. If you've just tuned in, First Baptist is a large congregation. It's a large building, and it's a large campus. I mean, you really do almost have to have a map in your lap to drive around that place and to find the right entrance if you're going to go to a meeting place. Several buildings, you've got First Academy School that's there. There are a lot of things going on in that campus.
Yep, there absolutely is.
Now, you started this whole idea of this video that involved 85 worship leaders and singers from different churches from all over Central Florida. Now, first of all, anyone who has seen the video loved it immediately. The song is from a Carrie Job song called "The Blessing," if I'm not mistaken on
that. That's correct.
And it was done, I don't know where it was done originally, but somebody during this time where people are sending out, and this is something I think that will always be remembered about COVID, is that musicians offered free concerts or pay-as-you-will type of concerts. I've heard the term virtual tip box used. So people who are full-time musicians are having to find new ways to, have a living during this time. But This particular song was picked up by somebody and then drew a lot of different people in for parts. And was that your inspiration, or did you have this idea all by itself and just happened to be the other people were doing it as well?
Yeah. So Mike, this Orlando blessing has literally been, so much fun, and seeing God's hand in it has been awesome. So the original idea, it was the day after Easter, I believe. Our senior associate pastor Danny Darmus texted me a link to what Pittsburgh did. Pittsburgh did a similar thing, and I saw that, and then I started seeing other either countries or other cities do their own arrangement of it, and what was really impactful of it to me was just this sign of unity that it shows amongst a community. And what we wanted to do was as soon as I saw it, I said, man, we got to do this in Orlando. And so that started probably the hardest I've ever worked in 3 weeks in ministry.
I can only imagine. First of all, just getting the communication lines open between you and 84 other worship leaders, or again, maybe they weren't all worship leaders. Were they? I don't know.
They were.
They were. Yeah. All worship leaders.
All of them were vocational staff worship folks.
That is so incredible in and of itself. Now, in anybody that's ever put together an event that meant that much coordination would appreciate the fact that that just doesn't happen every day. First of all, you're talking about something that is not easy to begin with, syncing up 85 different versions of recordings, all looking different. And I know some of them were probably shot in landscape mode and others in vertical mode. So there's a lot of heavy lifting here to do for what you did.
Yeah, well, you know, Mike, what's really cool about this is, you know, I've started getting calls from different cities in America just saying, hey, how did this happen? And what I've told everyone is it requires four people the first thing it requires is a director slash producer slash voice for the project. And that's got to be the champion of the project. It's got to be somebody that this is what they're attacking all day. And that would be you. And then the second thing that you need is you need a helper. You need somebody that's going to contact the churches you couldn't get an email for. Somebody that's going to make your Excel sheet with all of the churches that have been contacted and all of that. And then the third person that you need is you need a really good video person.
A really good video producer.
Yes. Someone that knows what they're doing with that. And then the fourth thing that you need is you need a really good audio person.
Well, I would add one other thing that you need from my years of doing this. You need some really great equipment to put all of that kind of stuff together, because that was so elaborate. What they did, if people haven't seen it, I don't want to take away the surprise and be a spoiler here, but the impact toward the end of that video is nothing but shocking. And I'm a video producer from years back, and in the early years when I would have seen, if I would have seen something back in the 70s that looked like that, I would have thought I'd died and gone to digital video heaven. It was amazing.
Well, we are blessed with some really awesome talent here, and the guy that did the video, he and I were really working side by side, hand in hand for you know, a while, and just, you know, I came up with a script for him that detailed, and I wasn't the only one that made these decisions, but detailed who's singing where and whatnot, and so he had to take all of those clips, as you can imagine, and put them in the right spot, and then after all of that, you know, he was like, hey man, so I have this idea for when all the churches are revealed, it'd be cool if they were scrolling together. And I said, absolutely, let's do it. And then comes the audio part where the syncing happens.
Oh, I can't imagine. You had so many lines of timelines on that video program that, yeah, without getting into the weeds for people who have never done that, they're all stacked up on top of each other, all these lines of that clip, and they all have to be managed separately and then put all together. And like you said, synced up so that they're all singing the same thing at exactly the same moment. Otherwise, it just is a train wreck.
Absolutely. It takes a lot of love and care let me put it this way, Mike. When we first press play without syncing it, it was scary.
It would have been a jumbled, it would have just been noise, really, at that point. But that was anything but noise, and it was tremendous. And, you know, I was telling, I was mentioning this to you when we were talking, setting up today's phone call, that I had not seen that video until it was aired. I'm sitting at a MetroLife church and helping with their stream. And this is introduced by Chris Jesse. And as he is introducing it, I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. What's this going to be like? And then all of a sudden it comes on and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. So I'm watching it. And as it unfolds, the impact is nothing but great. It's brought tears to my eyes. I've not seen such a sign of unity in my life, to see 85 churches come together working so hard on a project like that. That is tremendous, man. And congratulations. Do you have any idea how many man hours there were spent in editing all of that?
Well, I'll have a little confession time with you here, Mike. You know, we're all kind of under this stay at home thing, and I was staying at home, but I didn't see my family that much, because all I was doing was either making calls to the different worship leaders or scripting the project or something to do with it. So when I said it takes four people, the fifth one's the most important, and it's the one that held it all together, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus just making everything work, even despite our own deficiencies or things that we forgot or things that we missed. It's only by his power that the video has any power at all. And so, man, it's just been such a blessing, and really happy with how it's been taken by the public.
Well, it is tremendous, and you can go and search out on YouTube or Facebook and look for Orlando Blessing, and it will pop up. How many views are you up to right now?
Yeah, so on YouTube at this point we're at 75,000, but other churches have posted it, and so when it's all added up, we're over 100,000 for sure.
That is great, and it could still go viral, and that's the thing about it. As long as we are in this pandemic, there's going to be people who are looking for encouragement. We all need encouragement. And friends, this is encouragement to the soul, to see churches work together, to see unity right in front of your eyes played out in such a wonderful way, and to seeing a blessing over all of the churches in the Central Florida area. What a tremendous thing. Roberto Bruno, thank you for all your work on that. And we're going to be back with Roberto talking about worship in general now, talking about what God is doing and how he is using this current, really a revival of worship that's been going on for a number of years across denominational lines, across countries. And the world is a much smaller place because the church is worshiping in a marvelous way. We're going to talk to Roberto about that in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd. I have on the line Roberto Bruno. He is with First Baptist, and so enjoyed hearing all about that video that Roberto was instrumental in. It's called The Orlando Blessing. Again, if you just tuned in, it is a video that Roberto put together with the help of so many people in churches, 85 churches represented, and all of them having a worship pastor or worship leader involved on the singing. And the way it was put together, the way it was edited together, it's nothing like anything I've ever seen before. It was wonderful. Check it out. It's called Orlando Blessing, and you can find it on YouTube or on Facebook, and it is tremendous. You know, as a worship leader myself for many, many years, I have been following the changes. You know, there's a phrase that somebody coined a number of years ago, and it was called worship wars. And I always thought that was a humorous expression, worship wars. I would never have thought about that. But then when you get right down and you start reading about the things that were coming out, about interpretations, about worship, what does worship look like? And, you know, when I thought about it, I thought, well, you know, there is a lot of people somewhat at war with how worship should be handled, how it should be done. What is worship? What is worship versus entertainment? I've heard all those expressions, sometimes even applied to the kind of worship experience that I loved. So you're growing up in this same cultural battle, because styles, like you said, you were in a family that loved rap, and there were people that either loved rap or didn't love rap. And it started going into the church, and there are people who would be older that couldn't understand it. And so that aspect of like disagreements, and when you came into the church now as a worship leader, how did all of that was going on in that arena affect you?
You know, Mike, the reality is this, when we're talking about the topic of worship wars, the reality is this, and this is what I tell everybody that brings up this topic, is it's a fundamental mistake to associate worship with ourselves. Worship is not meant for us. Worship is meant for Jesus. He's the one that's worthy of it. And all I can think about when it comes to this is the reality that everything that has breath should praise the Lord. This is obviously from Psalm 150, where it talks about, you know, the sounding of the trumpet, the praising him with the timbrel and dancing, strings and pipe, clashing of cymbals, resounding cymbals. Yes, the cymbals on the drum kit. Everything is intended to praise the Lord. Everything. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to these worship wars, when I started, you know, our church is such a unified church. I haven't really struggled as much with that because when it comes to unity, it starts with the leadership of a church. And so for us, we maintain unity amongst the worship ministry. We maintain unification amongst the leadership of the church to say, hey, what we want to do is we want to create the best offering for the Lord that we can. And yes, one of them is more of a traditional offering and one of them is more of a contemporary offering, but all of it is for the glory of the only begotten Son of Jesus. And so it's all for him. And so when we're talking about worship wars, man, that's what comes into my mind is letting everything that has breath praise the Lord.
You know, there are a lot of people, I think, that have found that out. And a friend of mine gave me a story that had happened to him as he was praying. And he was really seeking the Lord and had been praying for some time and seeking an answer for God about his life and just not understanding why it was that he just couldn't get clarity. And as he's praying, it was almost like the Lord dropped a picture in his mind and he got all excited and he thought he was going to see a vision. He thought he was going to see something that God was just giving him a picture of that was going to help him in the situation. And the picture was the throne and he's, and the camera is tilting upward toward the head. And he goes, oh, the Lord's going to reveal himself to me. And when the camera tilted up in this picture, the picture of the person that was on the throne was a picture of himself. And he saw himself and he realized, that was his answer. The answer was he was seeking what he wanted instead of seeking the Lord. Right. And I think that really is a great way of that you've said it. It's all about him. You know, the song, I had a chance in England one time to meet the writer, Paul Oakley, who wrote the song, It's All About You, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus, Lover of My Soul is the way that they titled it over there. And he struggled all night long because he was being called upon to lead worship and he had nothing. And it was the fact that the Lord revealed to him exactly what you said, that worship is not about his ability to lead or the song list or the set list or the instrumentations or the arrangements, but worship is about our pouring our heart out to God.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And in reality, what it is, Mike, is the role of the worship leader is simply this: to help others by leading them to honor God. That is what it is. And so what was really cool about what we just talked about, the Orlando Blessing, just to kind of point a little bit back to the heart behind all of these worship leaders in Central Florida, was this wasn't just worship leaders coming together. We represented something bigger. We represented the kingdom of God. We represented the unified church in Orlando. And so this unified church is what we should all be striving for amongst our own congregations, a unified voice that it's not about us. It's all about King Jesus.
And it is true. It is all about him and for his glory and for the praise of his name. And that is such a great way to say it. And if we can get our eyes on that, and I think people are learning, it's getting better in a lot of areas. I think people who are older have come to see that the heart of those young people that are leading worship today, that while they may do it slightly different or put a different style or a different arrangement to it, if we can see through all of that and see that if it's really true worship, then we can become much more comfortable and much more appreciative of what God does. You know, a friend of mine, Bob Coughlin, said something that I never forgot. He said, what kind of worship music would God want? Well, none of us know that, you know, but God can be blessed with a single note. And he played a note on the piano as he was saying that. He just hit this note and he said, sometimes if you're in the middle of worshiping God and you just, you know, I think of the song, It Is Well With My Soul.
Yes.
That one, that the words of that song are beautiful, but arrangement wise, music wise, when you get to the first part of the chorus, it is three mono notes, one single note played three times. It is well. And that's what Bob was saying. A single note can evoke the deepest emotion and the greatest truth about God. It is well with my soul.
And you know, Mike, the reason that one note can do that is because God isn't looking at that note. He's not looking at the tone of it. He's not looking at how intricate it all is. What he's looking at, and we know this, what he's looking at is your heart.
Yes.
He's looking at what is the heart behind the person playing this note. And that's what it's so important that we never forget. It's the intent of the worshiper. What is it? Is it to honor themselves or is it to honor him?
Oh, that's so true. And he is worthy of all of that. And there was a time back, I think of it often in 1991, where I was going through one of these deep works of God in my heart. And I can remember just laying down on the floor in my living room. I had a worship tape playing. And, you know, when you begin to see that, when you begin to realize that what God is wanting is exactly what you said. He wants our heart. He doesn't want our effort. He doesn't want my arrangement. He doesn't want the quality of my voice. He wants my heart. And true worship begins at that point. John Piper's book, Desiring God, has this section in it. It's a favorite of mine when he talks about the four places that we are find ourselves being. And sometimes he said we're at the very top of the mountaintop, and then sometimes we're just under the mountaintop, the second place. We feel like we're going there. And the third place is that, well, we remember what it was like being really close with God and in intimate worship with him, and we want to be there. And then he has this fourth place. And the fourth place is we realize we're just dry when it comes to our worship of God, and we're not where we want to be at all. And he said that's where most of us live most of the time. But we've got to keep our eye on the fact that he wants us in those times of plenty, those times of rain of worship. Because whether we're dry or whether we're on the mountaintop, God hasn't changed. He wants our heart.
Amen. Amen. Wow. That's a good word.
Well, tell us what you are seeing. What are going to be the takeaways for you from the COVID crisis? In what ways do you think will be changed either for the better or for the worse? Or what do you want to see happen as we go forward and start meeting again?
You know, during this season, it's been quite interesting seeing how fruit can come from something that seems so down, right? This idea of what God is looking for, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Those kinds of sacrifices, Mike, the Bible says he will not despise. And so this idea of, man, like people have been broken during this season. Habits that they had, everything that you know defined their lives has completely changed and for a lot of us. And so, but that's good because that helps break us apart so that God can mold us into who he wants us to be. And so, man, I've just loved seeing people growing in their walk with Jesus during this time, putting different priorities in place over their lives. It's that Romans 8:28 principle. God will make good come from this. And I believe we're seeing despite how difficult it's been for a lot of families, and despite the job losses and the lives that have been lost, God has and will continue because of his goodness to make something good out of what seems to be a something that can't be good.
You know, that's so true that God and only God can do that. There's going to be that silver lining behind all of this, and I look forward as that becomes much more apparent. And you know, I'm grateful that that God is moving in the hearts and making people realize some of the things that you said from this. And I think the times that parents have now spent with their kids and their families, and just the positive things that I hope all of us glean, that those things will be carried into the new normal, whatever that new normal will look like, and that we will be better off because of it. Hey, Roberto, give us your website out there at First Baptist.
Yeah, so if you go to firstorlando.com, there, that's our website there. Again, to view the Orlando Blessing, you just YouTube the Orlando Blessing, and it'll be the first video that pops up. Mike, thanks so much for having us, brother.
I can't tell you how much fun I've had talking with you today, Roberto. And you say hello, if you will, to all of our friends over there, to Danny and to Pastor David. And we're so grateful. We had Pastor David Youth on our prayer for the National Day of Prayer. And so appreciate him and all of the folks that are there. It's such a joy to talk with you today and to get to know you a little bit, even if it is virtual. So maybe we can do coffee after all of this is over, man, and do a little jamming on the guitar.
I'd love that, Mike. Let's do it.
All right. Roberto Bruno from First Baptist and friends, thank you for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.